The doxology includes both of these verses, of course. Now, to him who is able to keep you from falling. This is a fatal fall, if you will, by analogy. It's to end your Christian life the wrong way and not adjusted to the plan of God, whenever it comes, however it comes. And to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless, with great joy. Verse 25. To the only God, our Savior. To the only God, our Savior. Only, monos, only God, theos, Savior, soter, our, the pronoun. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The preposition, dia, through, Jesus Christ, our Lord. B, glory, doxa, majesty, megalosune, majesty, prominence, importance. Majesty is fine. Dominion. The word translated dominion is kratos, means power or control. And authority, exousia. Before all time. Before all time. The adjective here, we have, well, we have the preposition pro, pos, all, definite article, time. And now, right now, and both now, and it could be both now, noon, adverb, and forever. The word forever is two words. The word forever is two words. The preposition pos, all, and the word age, like the ages, ion, is idiomatic for forever. It's an idiomatic expression for the word forever. And then the affirmation, the particle, amen. Okay. In verse 4, Jude has only in reference to Christ. In the real and absolute sense, there can be no other Savior. Acts 4:12. Contrary to what's in the cosmos, there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. That cuts out all the rest of it. There are no other kinds of saviors of that sort. The designation Savior is here applied to God the Father, interestingly. And this designation is applied to the God the Father in 1 Timothy 1:1, 2, 3, 4, 10, Titus 1:3. Normally, this title is applied to Jesus Christ. So here we have a little different approach on it, but it doesn't change anything. The words, through Jesus Christ our Lord, is purposely placed next to God our Savior in order to stress the fact that Christ is the conduit through which salvation is applied. We view God the Father as the planner. I mean, they're all involved. It's a great mystery. But God the Father is the planner. And the plan was for the second person of the Godhead to enter into a union with true humanity, which occurred in connection with the virgin birth, and that true humanity would be how, through that humanity and what was accomplished through that humanity, which involves a sinless life from his humble beginnings all the way to his physical death on the cross. Included in that, of course, is the sin-bearing period, the 3 hours of darkness, which seems to be neglected in any communication and breakdown with regard to the cross. It's a very simple process. He suffered from two sources. Men, that didn't save us, but men put him in a place where God could make him suffer for 3 hours and bear the sins of the world. All the evidence is right there. Just look at the information. It is finished. Atonement is accomplished. That part of it, bearing sins, paying a price for every sin, for every person, for all time, as mind-boggling as that always will be, in 3 hours. The only other thing he had to accomplish was not to sin between the end of the 3 hours and his physical death. His physical death is not what saves us. His physical death concluded his life on earth and the incarnation, his work, first advent, all of it, from birth to the end, was completed. But it was the 3 hours of darkness and the pain that he suffered, independent of the pain put upon him through crucifixion. Yeah, that was still ongoing, but it's probably a drop in the bucket compared to what he went through in the 3 hours. And he maintained, during the 3 hours, complete consciousness. And for your information, he didn't bleed to death. Jesus shed every drop of his precious... No, he did not. The Roman soldier proved that when he ran a spear, under his heart, and as the translation comes out, blood and water come out. That's technical, medically, for blood and serum. It's all medically correct, too. It's right on point. And he used his deity, which he was never allowed to do during his life on earth, to use his deity to benefit himself. Benefit others, yeah, but not himself. Stop a storm. On all the miracles that he did, the only time he tapped into his deity was his final prayer, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." His deity pulled his soul and human spirit out, and he breathed his last. There, it's all right there in the record. Yes, it matters to have the story right. Or it's not some just free-for-all. So the words, "through Jesus Christ our Lord," is purposely placed next to "God our Savior" in order to stress the fact that Christ is the conduit through which salvation is supplied. To say that glory, etc., was only given to God through Jesus Christ would be erroneous, the other interpretation of the phrase. Compare Romans 16:27 for a parallel. "To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be glory forever. Amen." This phrase is wrongly omitted in the King James Version. Salvation is an effort of all members of the Godhead, including the humanity of Christ. The Father is the planner, as it were. The Holy Spirit is the revealer, and he is the one who regenerates us or causes us to be born again, and he is inside us to keep us sealed and secure. The sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. So, salvation is an effort on all members of the Godhead. They each have their role to play, so to speak. Christ is immediate source of our so great salvation. The words "be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority" is a statement of fact, not a prayer. It's a statement of fact. Jude has four ascriptions of greatness. Glory is the sum total of all the divine attributes. Glory. Ones we have in our, I won't dig it out, our essence triangle. All those attributes, You learned them in prep school, some of you, maybe. You should have them memorized. Name the attributes, the invisible but real attributes of God. Just go down the list. Should be able to just rattle those off like you're in a classroom. Okay, students, write down the 10 divine attributes. I mean, this is basic. This is basic Bible doctrine to know what God's attributes are. Glory is the sum of all the divine attributes. Majesty as king. You know, his majesty. Here comes his majesty, the king. Majesty on a level that no one has ever seen. Might, power in action. All the things he's going to accomplish and do for us, through us, as we live on and move into eternity future. Power. People ought to be aligning themselves with the one who has all the power, the Creator, and all that he can do. There's nothing that, if it's in his will and desire, that he cannot do. It's easy. You're all powerful, plus you're all knowing, so you know how to put it all together. So, might as power in action. Authority, the right to rule. A concept undermined by people, the concept of authority, delegated authority, in the divine institutions, in the local church. God has established authority. He is the source of all authority. He has authority over all the authorities that he has, that are legitimate, that he has established. You go to work, you got a boss, he's your authority. Teacher, police officer, on and on it goes. And God, and God holds authorities accountable. He holds them accountable. I wouldn't have this job if I didn't have any authority. And it isn't so I can, you know, lord it over people. I don't have that inclination. But I know when to draw the line in the sand and exercise my authority. But I'm told in the Word of God how I'm to handle my authority. Jesus said to his disciples, "You don't handle your authority like the Gentile rulers do when they cracking the whip over everybody. If you have to, then you'll do it." And it's an extension of God and the authority over believers. No authority. What kind of pastor would you have? He's just a hired CEO at best, run by a board. No, he isn't. So I've got to throw that in. Authority, the right to rule. God establishes authorities. Some of them turn out bad, some of them turn out good, but he establishes authority. You can be thankful for it. Because what's the alternative? Anarchy, which some like to promote, by the way. Chaos. We have to have authority. Who's in charge here? Okay, authority gets abused like everything else. It's still an authority. God will deal with abusive authorities. And we're not talking about occasional misuse of one's authority. Authority is the right to rule. Again, this constitutes a grand exclamatory acknowledgement and confession that all believers should join in. Curiously, the King James Version omits the phrase "before all time." I hope you're not packing around a King James Version for a number of reasons, not just this. Not that the New American Standard is perfect in everything, in every translation. It isn't. There is no translation into another language that is on a par. They're up there high. The New American Standard strived to get rid of all the frivolous stuff that was in the King James Version, all the holy language, so-called. Get rid of all that Elizabethan English. We don't talk like that. God is you, not thou, and all the different little things they did with it. The New American Standard, thank God, came into existence just in time for us as a local church. The first version of it. And then they improved it. What was it, 95 or something? That's the version we got, yeah, the 1995 one. I heard they have another one that you might not want to get. Because everybody conforms to the cosmos. God is male. He. Apparently some people don't like that. Jude alone features this phrase. God existed from eternity past to eternity future. This is something we can't wrap our heads around. Something that is eternal, has always existed, has always been there, independent of anything else. Everything else that exists depended on something else. But not God. That's basic doctrine of divine essence. One of his attributes, EL, eternal life. From eternity past to eternity future. Everything else we relate to has a beginning and an end. But not that. We get to go into eternity future with no end, no end. I don't know what all kind of developments will occur. That's hidden from us, which it should be. We get as far as what we can get in the book of Revelation. So the final phrase, and forever, refers to eternity future as you're looking out from history and time. Eternity future. You can't think higher than the attributes of God. I dare you to. You cannot think higher than that. You can't think higher than all powerful. You can't think beyond all knowing. He doesn't. There may be language. There's language of accommodation in Scripture. Language of accommodation. And when it is used, it is, I don't know if this is exclusively, it is used in connection with deity. God. Language of accommodation. You know, like the Tower of Babel thing. Let's go down and see what they're doing. That's language of accommodation. They know what they're doing. The final phrase, forever, refers to eternity future. Between then, them is, and now, which is time rolling on. So that's why you and I as believers, unlike the masses out there, we need to redeem the time. We need to purchase it. And how do you purchase the time? Stay in fellowship and apply Bible doctrine through all the circumstances of your life. And get your eyes off of the things of the world as a priority. Oh, we see them. We enjoy them in certain instances. But these things all will fade into the memory hole. Forget it. We're going to be talking about that stuff. Like I said, online they have a bunch of these things. What was life back like? And shows a bunch of little pictures. In the 70s. Is this going to bring back memories? Of course, if you get the 60s, you'll get the moon landing pictures. That junk. You know, Elon Musk is supposed to be a real smart guy, right? Technically, scientifically, high IQ genius type, right? There was an article where he was saying, what we're going to have to do in the future to get to Mars. First of all, if there was a Mars, why do we want to even go? just to say we did it? But anyway, there isn't. I think he knows better. Oh, you have to. You can't run around in those circles and not have come across the true doctrine of cosmology. There's no way. Especially now with the internet and everything out there. It's in their face now. Yeah, before you had to go to a library, get a book, and read about somebody showing you it. But now it's out there. And it's growing. I believe that the Antichrist will be a flat earther all the way. I think they're going to revert back to the real thing in that regard. They know where the third heaven is. Just like those dummies at the Tower of Babel did. They know where it is. They just can't get there. Because God has fixed it so they can't, even if they develop technology. You only get there one way. You die, you get raptured up out of here. That's how you get there. But when men lose their minds, they imagine all this crazy stuff, and follow in the footsteps of their spiritual father, Satan. God, who cannot change for the better or for the worse, is throughout all eternity and time these four things. Hence, the certainty of the final Amen. End of Jude, March 2025. Last time I taught it and ended it, it was September 2000. I left that down there. Whoa, 25 years ago almost. Yay. Well, that's the last time I'm going to do it. I say that almost for a certainty. All right. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us together today and learning these things. Continue to bless us as we stay the course to achieve the wonderful goal that you have promised in your word for those who truly finish their course and arrive at the Bema Seat with great joy. In Christ's name, amen.